Welcome to the PhyLife podcast. I'm John Barbin, and as with me, as always, Brad Pilon. And today we're going to be talking about it's about how you eat and how there's some kind of eating nutrition voyeurism going on where people are just intensely interested in how everybody else eats and how their reaction to the way you eat is never anything about you, but it's always about them. And it just gets a little... This gets a little confusing because we seem to all be – we're obviously all sensitive to how everybody reacts to us. And some people, I guess, get like persecuted for the way they eat if it's outside the norm.
Well, it's really funny. If you think about – and tonight, oddly enough, it's late at night, so we're not at a coffee shop tonight. But when we are coffee shops and we're eavesdropping, you notice that people always seem to talk about – nutrition's a very easy thing to bring up. And they're always more interested in what the other person is doing and whether it's right or wrong. And it's really weird. It's not food voyeurism, right? Because they're not actually interested in like what glaze did you put on that chicken type of thing. It's actual nutrition voyeurism. That their actual – the voyeur part is the reason behind what you ate and why you ate it as opposed to just because, wow, you know, you should try the Duc de l'Orange. It's awesome. This is more like the why are you changing your protein and carb ratios type of stuff. And it's a complete voyeuristic fantasy, well, not fantasy, but infatuation with how other people have decided to eat. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think it comes from reading too much about this stuff and then assuming that any of it has anything to do with – will do anything anyways. It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter how you – I mean, if there is any changes, they're so insignificantly small that they're just – insignificantly small. Is that redundant?
Yeah.
They're just – they're so small that it's not going to matter anyways. Like, if you – like, you can't measure stuff like if you change your protein – I don't know who could if they're changing like nutrient ratios by like from 20% to 25%. Like, who can actually measure that stuff? And who even has the time of day to, in a day to do that? And even if you do, it's not going to change anything.
Well, you should point out there that, I mean, you're saying that because we know that one, food records, diet recalls, et cetera, that are used in scientific research are highly unreliable. And the other thing is from both us working in the food industry that we know that the actual calorie and macronutrient protein of foods are just estimates based on guesstimates because you're guessing on the average for that food and you're guessing at an average weight. And we know that these are allowed to have a large degree of variance, right? So
right.
That's why it's so hard. We should just put it so we don't make people think we're just saying they suck at doing it. It's almost impossible.
It doesn't matter how diligent you are. I mean, labels, if you look at labeling laws, depending on how many calories are in a particular serving, by law, you're actually instructed to round up your nutrients and your calories. So I mean, you know, so as a manufacturer, if I'm making a protein powder and I'm above or below a certain amount of ingredients per scoop, I actually have to round by rule on my label.
Yep.
So you as a consumer don't. How the hell are you gonna know that I actually had to round that up and down?
Yeah, exactly. And I can think of very popular meal replacement bars that are, you know, 80 grams on label. That consistently, when put on a scale, were 110 to 115. Not just one, but like multiple lots of bars. So that's why it's very difficult to measure. So you don't really know exactly what you're putting in your body. But yet people are infatuated with not as much what they're putting in their body, but what other people are putting in their body and why. My one of my favorite sort of examples of this and people's need to comment on other people's eating, it's an old Family Guy skit. And it's two... just, and I don't know what the actual takeoff is, but two just massive, massive men. Like, you know, that typical 500-600-pound, grotesquely obese guys. Then they're in overalls, and they're driving down the street side by side on motorcycles. And then one guy looks at the other and goes, so I'm going on Atkins. And the other goes, ooh, I heard that's not good for you. Right? And they're like 500-pound guys, right? So, but that need to constantly comment on how people are eating. And it's something that for people who are following Eat, Stop, Eat, it constantly hits them is when they tell someone, I'm fasting. And automatically people have a, why? That's not good for you. What's going on, right? And interesting because it has to do with the nutrition and the nutritional or health reasons. Because if you said, I'm fasting, and they said, why? And you said, oh, religious reasons, right? It's my faith. They wouldn't go, ooh, that's bad for you, right? They'd completely leave you alone, right? But when you say you're doing it purposely for health reasons, they automatically feel like they have not only the authority and right to comment on it, but then also the right to pester you about it. And it's just the oddest thing that we're so concerned so interested, concerned isn't even the right word, but interested in almost like nutrition gossip. Like, I don't even know what to describe it as, right? But constantly sort of trying to figure out why other people are doing something. And maybe it's just you're projecting your own insecurities about how you're eating on other people.
Well, that's exactly what it is. And it's we're social beings, right? Humans just want to know what other humans are doing and whatever people, like, I don't know why I use human.
Hence Twitter and Facebook. And
why do you think social media sites like Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, like, people just want to know what other people do? It's because you want to know that the weird thing that you do, like, you know, whatever it is that you do when you talk to yourself, you want to know that you're not, like, a freak.
Crazy.
and that everyone else does it.
Yeah.
And so the more it's why we go to movies, it's why we read books, it's why we have that, like, can you believe that such and such person did that? It's because everyone is intensely curious to know about human nature. And you're like, am I just as human as they are? So one of the most kind of carnal human things we all do is eat. So when you see somebody eating differently than you, you're like, okay, so one of the two of us is less human than the other, or one of the two of us isn't as normal of a human. Wait, something's up here, and one of the two of us is wrong, or one of the two of us is less in tuned with the human race than the other. I suppose is one way. If you strip all the layers away, that might be kind of the underlying sort of I don't know if it's instinct or what it is. And then if it's in the case of fasting, since everyone else isn't, and then you are, and in the case, you know, if you've picked up Eat Stop Eat and you've adopted the lifestyle, and then when you mention it to somebody else who's never sort of thought of it, you've put a challenge in front of them. They're sitting there going, well, damn it, should I be fasting? Now they're investigating their own feelings about it, and they're trying to figure out who's right and who's wrong.
And it's a quick decision too, right? It's not even who's – it's like, is that wrong? Is that right? And you just sort of throw it together really quick. You've almost made that decision 2 seconds in based on – you know, probably so many factors we can't measure. It's probably the facial expressions of the person telling me the story. There's probably so much at play. But in the first couple of seconds, you've already made your decision whether or not you're going to say this is right or wrong. You know what? I can think of a non-nutrition example is I can remember in early 2000s, back when I was working in the supplement industry, and we were watching online trends. And this was back when the guys at Westside Barbell, Elite Fitness Systems, are really sort of putting together a niche audience online to start to make powerlifting kind of cool, right? Like, powerlifting is always like an underground thing, right? Like super, super kind of underground in the bodybuilding supplement world, right? But these guys were making it cool. And the interesting thing is, so, you know, bench, squat, dead, that was what people started talking about. And when you talk to a bunch of bodybuilders about bench, squat, dead, and your totals, they quickly were like, yeah, that much squatting is bad for you. It broadens your hips or blows your knees. You know, they had to make an immediate decision on what, and depending on who it was coming from, it was just a random, uninformed, uneducated decision on whether it was good or bad. And that seems to be happening with food even more so, right? It's just a quick decision. But the odd part that I don't get is not only is it this quick decision, and once you've made the decision, you have to stick with it, but almost like you constantly have the right to now pester that person about what they're eating and what they're doing and why they're doing it and how come and where'd you read it from.
Well, go ahead.
And I just think it comes from is the we're so surrounded by fitness and nutrition info clutter. Right? That when someone brings something up that we don't know about, there's two things that we have to accept, right? Either, okay, we're not reading enough clutter, which is highly unlikely, or we're reading the wrong clutter, which you don't want to know. So it's almost an attack on the clutter you've been reading and you've accumulated versus what they're telling you, right? So if you haven't read it, it must be wrong. I think that's a large part of it.
Well, yeah, and it's defending their position because if you've been reading anything about nutrition or diet, which is like, even if you don't do it on purpose, you'll come across, I mean, obviously there's a way you eat. And if you've never stopped to even think about it, then you've just had it handed to you by various external forces, by, you know, the way you ate, the way you learned to eat from your parents, then the way you learned to eat around your friends, and then, you know, how you adopted to eat at work or at school. So one way or another, somebody external from you influenced how you eat. And then maybe at some point you tried to take more control over that and started reading about it. So then when you come across somebody who's doing something completely different that you've never heard of before, you're left with the decision to be like, well, your initial reaction is to defend your position. You're like, no, that's not how I eat. I eat this way. So wait a minute. It's almost like the feeling of being left behind. You're like, man, is there still something I don't know about? And I think that's why people have such an intense reaction to the Eat Stop Eat Life, because it's contrary to anything they've heard. It's probably nothing that they would have had handed to them from their parents or from external sources. So whether or not you actually go out of your way to read nutrition stuff, or if you're just eating the way you always ate, Eat Stop Eat's probably never in there anywhere. So it is the one new thing that most people haven't come across. And so it really bothers them, because they feel like they've been left out, or somehow they've been left behind. I don't know what it is, but there's,
you know what though, even then, that just by saying that, you and I are kind of proving the how cultural centric your eating styles are, because there are tons of cultures out there where people fast, you know, whether it's, you know, every day for a month, or if it's, you know, every Friday of every week, where the general ideas behind Eat Stop Eat would be not only the norm, but they'd probably be shocked if someone went to the bother of writing a book about it, right? So in our culture, and that's where your point comes from, right, is that everybody eats differently around the world, yet everybody is able to accumulate, you know, a certain degree of health or non-obesity or obesity, whatever the case may be, right? So the fact is there is no right way, and what you consider right is just more the tradition of your family plus your geographic location.
Oh yeah, exactly. So yeah, there's definitely people who, when, you know, people I've run into who are like, oh, what's Eat Stop Eat, and you explain it, they're like, oh right, okay, yeah, we do, you know, they already have some degree of intermittent fasting built into their lives that they've never called it that. It's either for a religious reason or for, you know, it just works out a certain way. And then it's no big deal to them. And so it's definitely cultural and definitely geographic. And I guess people never take, I don't know, maybe marketing's just set up so well to not ever show people the long view or the broad view of how many other people in different societies eat so many different ways. I mean, it's just, there's no standard way of eating. I mean, as soon as just go down to your mall food court and look at all the different, you know, you can get Greek food, Chinese food, Italian food, any place you can think of has something different that they eat, a different way to prepare it, a different set of spices they use, different styles of eating from times of day and all that stuff. And so, you know, and if you've done any traveling internationally, you quickly realize that there's like just totally different ways to eat, totally different cultures surrounding the way we eat. But like Brad just said, there's, you know, every country has its people who've lived to 100, to 110. Every country has its group of people who get certain kinds of diseases. And it's, you know, there's no magic to any of it.
Well, even when you start doing travel, you realize even the basic idea of breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know, is completely and radically different from culture to culture. Right? Mm-hmm. Like it's just – so I think a large part is the possibly the North American meatification of sort of how we perceive everything to be, right? That everybody must eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner plus a couple small snacks, and everybody in the world probably worries about how much protein they eat, etc. But I mean, in reality, you take someone who lives in Bridgetown, Barbados, and just magically drop them in the middle of Moscow and ask them to eat with that family, it's going to be the most obscure thing they've ever done, right? Like it's such a radical change in eating behavior, but it doesn't mean it's wrong. And I think that's where we get hung up, is that when we talk about like your analogy of the food court, right? When you say, hey, I'm going to try the Italian place down there, most people are like, oh, I'll try that with you, right? They're open to the idea. But when you start talking about, instead of food, when you start talking about nutrition, it's like the opposite effect. And you're like, oh, I'm going to try Italian, like, that's what I heard is bad for you, right? Like, automatically, it's a very different – by you saying you're doing something different, you're attacking the way they're doing it. As opposed to when it's food, and you know, I like the Greek food, and you're like, you're going to go Italian. I'm like, oh, I can try that. Right? You're not attacking my liking of the Greek food. But when it comes to actual, not food, but nutrition and nutrition approaches, the minute you try something different, in a weird way, I perceive it as you attacking the way I eat or the decisions I've made on how to force myself to eat. I guess it's more clear.
Yeah, and I guess if you get to the root of it, either So then you're attack. So look, think of all the different ways people could perceive that attack. You're either attacking my ability to research and disseminate some nutrition information, and then my personal choice, or you're attacking the way my family lived and taught me how to eat, or you're attacking my geographical locations. You know, like if I'm happy living where I live and, you know, following the traditions of the people I hang around, my friends, and now you're so you're attacking me, my family, my friends, and my ability to like understand research. So I think that's where any of the opposition and the persecution comes from when specifically Eat Stop Eaters go, you know, bother to disclose what they're doing to people, and then they get into like heated debates with people. I think that's, they feel like you've, even though you've done nothing besides this, oh, hey, this is what I do. And they don't hear that. All they hear is, oh, you know, I'm doing this. It's better than what you do, and what you do is stupid.
Yeah. I mean, it almost comes down to that, right? People can't accept the idea that different people eat differently. I mean, it'd be really interesting to get a bunch of paleo people and a bunch of vegetarians together and be like, dude, it doesn't make a difference, right? Like, outside of that, that's the only thing different between you guys. And then watching that, they just, there would be a view that one group is attacking the other group, even though they're not. It's because I think nutrition, not food, but nutrition, is become a belief system more than it's a science, right? You pick what you choose to believe is right, and then there everything else must be wrong. So actually, nutrition itself is becoming very dangerous, because we're not able to make the kind of progress we need to be made, because we're sticking hard fast to belief systems rather than to science, right? And that's why we get that hated feeling of, you know, you're doing something different, therefore it's wrong, because it's infringing on what I believe. So it's pretty scary.
And think of how heated, like, people get, like, just visibly angry and get like, just flat-out rude on message boards and stuff about one eating style over another. And it's completely nonsensical. Like, belief and logic are just centered in two different places. So people have their – I know they clearly let their identities get caught up in how they eat, which seems so odd.
Weird to me, yeah, to define yourself by the way you eat. Like, I don't even like it when I'm, like, at a conference presenting and people refer to me as a fasting guy, because it's so odd to refer to someone by how they eat, right? Mm-hmm. But it's how people sort of choose to define themselves, right? Whether even with workouts, like, people define themselves on how they work out. I'm a bodybuilder, I'm a powerlifter, I do CrossFit. And then it's, I'm paleo, I'm a vegetarian, I fast. You know, it's the weirdest, to me, it's just an odd concept to use the ways you've decided to limit how you eat as also a way to define yourself as who you are, right? Like, it makes much more sense to me to define yourself based on, like, I don't know, the music you like or the art you like, but define yourself on ways you've chosen to limit the style in which you eat food based on your nutrition beliefs. Just odd. But so for people who are, you know, let's just not say fasting, but following any diet style and are getting slack from friends or family, I mean, how do you cope? What do you do to kind of get them to lay off?
It's tricky. This is one of the number one things that we have to deal with when you go ahead and choose. Even with the Adonis program, people are like, well, that doesn't look like other workouts. It's like, well, yeah, that's the point. The point we don't want to look like everybody else. We have a specific look we're after. So, again, I guess the number one way to deal with this sort of persecution is to first and foremost recognize that they're not attacking you. What you're doing, if especially if you're seeing results and you've made, no matter what it is, like Brad said, it doesn't have to be stuff, whatever it is, but you make a stand. You're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to decide to eat low carb, or I'm going to decide to eat stop eat, and I'm going to decide to train a different way. Now you've drawn a kind of a line. You didn't do it on purpose, but just because you've made a choice to step away from what everyone else is doing, now you're going off in your own direction. And anyone who's, you know, close to you or finds out about that, it's not you that they're not persecuting you, even though it feels like it. They're feeling threatened. They're feeling threatened that they're either being left behind or they're doing something wrong. That you're, by choosing to do something different from what they do, you're somehow saying inadvertently that what they're doing is inferior, because, you know, you're leaving them behind. They'll feel like you're leaving them behind when really you're just – how weird is that? All you're doing is choosing to eat in a slightly different pattern. But totally means something else to them. So these battles you're getting into, if you are, that might happen if you do make one of these sort of decisions, is never about you. It's always about them. That's a them problem, not a you problem. What you need to do is have the sophistication to help kind of, I don't even know what the word is, to not beat them over the head with it, but kind of sympathize with them a little bit and then start the discussion.
You know, what's awesome is based on what you just said. If you think about, almost any sort of eating style, eat, stop, eat, or any of them, right? The main difference is really over the course of days or even hours, right? But if you define it based on a month-to-month or year-to-year basis, people don't really eat that much differently. They just eat more or less, right? Like when you break it down, even people trying to follow a super hardcore low-carb diet, you know, if you've been doing that for a year versus someone else who's been trying to eat but lower calories, something different over a year, and generally, if we could actually significantly and with some sort of detail add it all up properly, the difference, they don't eat, no one really eats any differently from each other when you span it over the course of a year, when you average it all out. And so that's the thing to remember, is you're not really eating any different than someone. To me, I think the main issue comes from when you tell anybody that you're doing something for the purpose of losing weight, the automatic assumption is that's not healthy, which is a bit of a weird mindset considering the fact that the general idea of just getting grossly more and more overweight isn't healthy, right? But if you just tell someone, and I think it's just public perception, and especially in North America, I'm probably being pretty cultural centric again, but if you're like, I'm following a certain diet, and they say, why? And you say, I'm trying to get my blood pressure down. My doctor told me to. They'd probably leave you alone, right? But you tell them you're following the exact same diet, they say, why? And you're like, oh, I want to lose 15 pounds. I'm going on vacation in 3 months. They'd be like, oh, that's not good. Something wrong with you, right? So I think that the purpose behind the diet style is also something that people immediately take offense to.
Yeah, it's weird that we have these odd taboos like that, like the idea of
healthy versus weight loss versus
Like if you look at the scientific research, losing weight, getting rid of the weight is healthier than however you do it. Like for you know, in some cases for extreme morbidly obese, but they fast them for months, like they don't eat for months, and that's still better than if they stayed big. So, I mean, this concept that there's a healthier way to lose weight that's nonsense. I mean, getting rid of the weight is the healthiest thing you can do. And the trick is just finding a way you can do it without going mental. So, you know, I don't care how you do it. Do what, however you go about doing it, just get it done. And the immediate sort of, oh, that's unhealthy. Especially with weight loss is such a touchy subject because if the other person who's accusing you of being unhealthy by losing weight, it's the crabs in a bucket phenomena. They don't want to feel inferior or being left behind or like they're a failure or giving up on themselves when you progress. That's a trick for actually making any real change in your body. The amount of people you're going to, not on purpose, but are going to, I don't know what the word is, distance or offend, and not because you're doing anything wrong, but because you're doing something for yourself that they're can't get done for themselves. And then it's a reflection of their ability to not get to where you're going.
Well, it kind of makes sense, though, right? Like if I'm – let's say you and I are at a coffee shop and we're discussing – I'm telling you I'm going on vacation in a couple months. And I'm like, dude, but I really want to lose like 15 pounds because I do not want to be seen on a beach looking like this. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, hold on, Phelan. We're like almost the same height, almost the same weight. If you're disgusted by your own body, it means vis-a-vis I disgust you. Like I should be disgusted. So I think a large part of that is when you tell someone else who's roughly the same shape, and being humans, we're all roughly the same shape, that you're not happy with the way you look. I think there might be an implication of, and you shouldn't be happy with the way you look either. Like, you know, some people get defensive, maybe.
Right, and that's exactly what I meant by crabs in a bucket.
I follow.
They get defensive because they're saying, well, wait a minute, if you feel like you need to lose 15 pounds and you and I are about the same size, that means you're telling me I'm 15 pounds overweight too, or that you, exactly, you're just unhappy with the way we both look. But if that's, people can't get around that. It's like, no, I don't care what you look like. It's what I look like. And I know it's relative. I mean, everything's relative, but it's real tricky because you can have even close people. I mean, if you actually make any kind of dramatic change in your life, you can have people who are even actually really close to you, feel alienated or distanced. And it's something you're going to have to deal with. I mean, if you, you know, I mean, certain people aren't going to – I mean, your best, closest people, family and friends who are really supportive of you who won't take this position, they're going to support you regardless. And they may – you know, they'll be like, good for you, wish I could do it too. But, you know, but they won't feel threatened. But that's a tight circle of people who you know you can really trust. And you probably already know who those people are in your life. But then outside of that circle, there's going to be those people who feel like it's an attack on them. Not an attack, I guess, but just they're going to view it personally. And they may throw a couple snide comments at you to try to hold you back so they don't feel so bad about themselves. Because they're going to look at you saying, well, we're in the same socioeconomic class. We basically started with the same, you know, same upbringing, same education, same everything. And now that person's surpassing me in their body weight shape goals. So they're obviously going to look at themselves saying, well, given the same amount of tools, they're progressing and I'm not. So then I must be failing myself. And that's, I guess, by you succeeding, they're going to view themselves as a failure, I guess, is what kind of happens.
Makes sense. So we can say that, yeah, the when it comes to people's burning desire to know how you've chosen to eat and your reasons behind it, it's really a, it's not you, it's them type of situation, right? They're more interested in then comparing it immediately to their belief system and whether or not you're infringing on it or, you know, making them question it. So it has very little to actually do with how you eat. And actually what they're doing is measuring how they eat against how you eat.
Right. And yeah, everyone's a barometer for everybody else. And I mean, and it's weird because like in bodybuilding circles, that's the one place where they would have open discussions about this. And it would be like, oh, you know, I've been trying keto, you know, low carb, but I did this. And so they're like, oh, really? Tell me about it. And then the next guy over would be like, oh, yeah, you know, I tried that and I, you know, I kind of missed my look. So I went this way instead. And in that case, they all have a common goal. They all know they're actually going to get to their goal. Now they're all just kind of bouncing it off of each other. There's none of this like being left behind, I'm ashamed of myself stuff. And there's no comparing as far as no one's distancing themselves from the pack. They're all going to arrive. They're all just going to arrive via a different route. But they all fully expect to arrive in the same spot, and they all generally do. So then they just, you know, in that kind of weird little field, kind of where all this nutritionism comes from anyways, there's even though they compete on stage, they don't compete or feel attacked or threatened by each other's weight of getting there because, like Brad said, over time it all just normalizes anyways. And arguing over the minutia, like slightly tweaking carb ratios up and down and things like that, that comes from the bodybuilding community. That's what these people do. They sit around literally talking about a few grams one way or the other. But for them it matters. And in their world, it's fun for them to go back and forth on, and nobody feels attacked. They're all just – it's action, result, action, result. It's like, I did this. They're like, really? How did it make you look? Oh, I switched here. Oh, really? How did that make you look at that point? And so for them, it's kind of like an ongoing experiment. But for everybody else, that's not how they're viewing it at all. So all of these eating styles become an identity and then a belief system and all of this stuff. But when you kind of drill down to where it came from, it sort of had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's why also we're – in terms of like a large scale population, we're never going to see a weight loss or a prevention of this obesity thing, because we're never going to skew any way radical enough to cause a populational weight loss, because as a group, we're always going to try to stick together and keep things normal, right? So if one or two people start doing something a little, you know, left to center, we're immediately going to be like, ooh, that's not healthy. Right, like it's an immediate attack, so it's always going to prevent us. And even obscure groups like bodybuilding, and the examples they've given us, right, we're just going to largely ignore it, right? And then we'd rather just be interested in the nutrition clutter, and just gaining info and looking up, and then maybe doing someone says something about fasting, I'm going to do a blog search on it, or someone says something about paleo, I'm going to Google it, right? Rather than actually considering it. You know what I mean? You'd rather just add the clutter than actually consider and look at it and be like, okay, is it – what's going on here, right? Like you just want to make a quick decision, get someone else to tell you the answer, and then move on.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and if you take – I suppose if you take the long view, all of this doesn't matter anyways. Because now this is the other –
it's all the same thing.
Right, and this is the other thing I could never get an answer on. So what do these people think is going to happen? Do they actually think they're going to outlive – the human life expectancy? Like, do they, Do they think they're going to find the one way of eating that makes them live forever? Like, I don't get what the point of any of these eating styles even are. Like, what? Like,
well, that's always been the part that's blown my mind a bit about diet and fitness in general, right? Is that the view is always, it's almost as really, I don't know if morbid is the right word, but no matter how good a shape you're in, you're always looking at it like, oh, it's going to get better eventually, right? Like, you're never living in the day, right? You're always living for 8 weeks, 9 weeks down the road, right? You're just always trying to lose a little bit more, gain a little more, and you're never actually enjoying, I mean, it sounds kind of philosophical, but enjoying the day, enjoying the moment, because you're always too concerned about, it's almost like this always sucks, so I'm always going to be trying to diet. I'm always going to be, you know, feeling bad that I had cake or feeling bad that I didn't stick to my diet or go to do my workout, because you're not enjoying the actual practice of it. You're just always sort of hoping it's going to be better a couple of weeks down the lane, right? If I really sacrifice for these next couple of weeks, the weeks after that would be great.
Okay, so then based on that, I think we've got the Phi Life, how this comes together, and it just made me think of this. What I think maybe the root of the persecution is that they're irritated that you may have finally found a way to actually enjoy the process and enjoy the day and not be stuck looking 8, 10, 12 weeks in the future, where maybe they're still stuck in that, like, well, I've tried this dieting and it sucked, and I've tried that way and it's terrible too. And maybe they're irritated that you're actually enjoying the way you eat and enjoying the results it's producing on your body, and they're upset or, I don't know, disenchanted that they're not where you are. So maybe that's how it comes together.
And there's that weird sort of like, you're defining yourself by your discipline and your ability to forsake today for the possible benefits tomorrow. But then we just know tomorrow you're going to do the exact same thing over and over again, right? Whereas if you can come across being like, you know, I don't really worry about this nutrition clutter. I don't read these, you know, thousands of blogs a day, et cetera. You know, I'm just, when it comes to my food, I'm just happy and I enjoy it, right? Then it's a very odd concept for people whose whole life is revolved around, yeah, forsaking the current day of massive discipline, et cetera, because they just keep striving for something better. But it's almost an addiction, if that makes sense, right? Like they're never content with where they are or enjoying the process. It's always sacrificing for some sort of greater good that's going to happen possibly in the future, maybe, hopefully.
Well, yeah, I think they've convinced themselves that you actually – I think a lot of people get to the point where if you've enjoyed food, then it had to have been bad for you. Like there's absolutely no way to obtain a body, look, and shape that you like and actually enjoy the process of getting there, and which one of the – you know, besides the workouts, the biggest factor is the way you eat. Mm-hmm. And so people, I think, they're all messed up. If they see someone who's actually enjoying losing weight or enjoying getting in shape, they're going to be like, how's that possible? I thought that's supposed to be like a death sentence.
Which is ridiculous, because you think of the example of children, right? A time when you didn't worry about food, right? You enjoyed the food and you haven't been typically on the earth long enough to accumulate enough calories to be overly fat with the rare circumstances. And yes, I know childhood obesity is increasing, but don't screw with my example. but at that point, bastards, but at that point, that's when you don't worry about it, right? So it's you're not forsaking everything for the future. Like, yes, your parents are forced and you have green beans, et cetera, but it's not the same. You haven't, you know, just completely cluttered yourself with information about nutrition so that hopefully one day it all makes sense to you, right? It's just a weird, weird circumstance we've built, and it's why people are so obsessed with how you eat, because they're not actually interested in how you eat at all, just comparing it back to how they eat, and should they or should they not be making this sacrifice? Because, well, man, that would be upsetting, right?
Yeah, anyone who's overly interested in how anyone else eats is clearly not interested or not satisfied with how they are eating currently. Like, I couldn't care less what other people eat. I'm way more interested in how I eat, because it would provide no useful information to me to find out how other people eat. I just don't care.
Would you find it? I find it really weird when, I mean, online I write about fasting, you know, and sometimes I'm mostly writing about just sort of having a casual relationship with food, if that's what it is, but being relaxed about it. And people email and be like, you know, what do you think of a paleo, just because it's a really obvious one. And I'm like, what do you mean, what do I think of it? I don't, it's a way of eating, Like, it's such an odd question, right? What do you think of low carb? Be like, well, what do I think of it? It's almost as if it's been personified into a person, and you know, it's cranky. You know, it can be really moody at times, but other than that, it's a cool person to hang out with. Like, it's such an odd thing to be asking, what do you think of various styles of eating? When you're like, I have such a hard time grasping what people kind of answer people are looking for.
I think it's because you or I already know that those things don't do anything. So, like, there's no measurable physiological thing that happens by eating that way. It's not like your blood lipids improve or you and I both know that it's nonsensical. Like, just nothing really happens. So what do I think? It's like, I don't know, if you knock yourself out if you like it. But really what they're asking you is like, what do you think of my lifestyle and my identity? Like, don't you think I'm doing my part for the, but whatever it is, it's like,
Like I said, it's an odd question to answer, right? Because we're fishing.
Yeah, look, I'm tripping over my words even trying to come up with a way of explaining it.
Yeah, but you do that normally. So
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's all right. But I mean, outside of the whether or not they have health benefits, because I mean, just that one sentence you threw in there, and this is really interesting. So I'm guessing people listening to this heard what John just said about how it doesn't really matter anyways, and some of you probably got upset. And again, the issue right away is, what do you care what John said about, you know, the style of eating that you do or do not like, right? So it was a great example, because just by you saying that, you probably piss some people off when it's really hard to figure out, you know, again, why they care and why we should care they care when you're just talking about a style of eating. So again, if we took the nutrition, see, the nutritionism sort of aspect of it, when you started talking about whether or not there are health benefits, I bet you people got upset. But if we were just talking about, you know, Italian cooking versus French cooking, right, different styles, people just be sitting there going like, I want to try them both, right? But the minute you start talking about the health benefits, I guarantee that's when people start getting upset, which is the part that's so obscure to me.
Well, yeah, because they want to feel like they're doing the best they can for their own, I guess, health and life. I mean, you'd look like a bit of a fool if what you were doing was actually worse for you than better, especially if your intention was for it to be better for you than worse.
Yeah,
so you know what? That's probably where part of this comes in, because people are like, "Well, I thought I was doing the best I could for myself. Are you telling me I'm not? Like, are you telling me I'm actually the way I'm eating isn't the best for me?" And the thing is, it's the every style of eating can be fine. It's the one that causes you the least amount of stress is probably the best one.
Yeah, no, couldn't agree more with that statement. So I think really from a PhyLife point of view is realizing, I think we've boiled it down to, if people are asking about your diet or taking offense to what you said, it's because probably you've said something nutrition or health related, not food related, that's upset their understanding or beliefs behind how they're currently eating, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can also say that in general, if you're looking for ways to be concerned about how you're eating, et cetera, it should be, you know, are you forsaking the enjoyment of food or just even the enjoyment of how you look today for the hopes that, you know, you're either going to enjoy food better or like the way you look better at a later date, in which case just be aware that's what you're doing. And I think in general, again, it's just more of a nutrition clutter and an expectations thing that needs to be managed.
Yeah. I mean, so I guess the overriding theme is people in general want to feel connected to everybody else. And Brad, you brought up the point that if the population, at least in North America or industrialized countries, is to trend towards overweight, at least for a good chunk of them, and you don't want to be a part of that trend, you do have to step away from the mass.
You're going to have to eat differently. Yeah, you're going to have to upset people because you're going to be eating differently than they are.
Right.
And that is a direct kind of F you at them, pardon the impression.
Right.
Pun impression. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's food. You know what, another thing, and I'm going to make this into a decent segue, but I think the other issue is that people take this whole nutrition thing too seriously. And if you guys, you know, if you get a chance to look at the website, phy-life.com, you're going to see in the top right-hand corner the supposed picture of John and I. And those guys, John, what are their names?
Oh, Statler and Waldorf.
Right. So those are the guys, they're Muppets. for goodness sake, right? And those two guys, particularly, were Muppets who just sat up in the top balcony and ripped on the Muppet Show as it was going on, right? And the point of that, I mean, it isn't just John and I messing around, is that it's a general opinion of us that this nutrition and fitness field take themselves way too seriously. You know, we take the information that comes out, the way it's delivered, always having to be an expert. No one has any fun with it. And it's for something that's such guesswork still. You know, we take everything as this hardcore fact, and if someone's doing something differently than you, it's offensive, and if they don't agree with you on your eating styles or weight training beliefs, then, you know, you guys can barely be friends. I mean, there's issues there, right? Like, this should be something that we're able to laugh at, and I find it funny that in the world of online nutrition personalities, nobody's funny, right? Like, everybody's trying to be the sort of hardcore expert, and I think the best thing we can do when it comes to food is just lighten up a bit. So that's the reason behind, you know, it wasn't just a random picture we chose. That's actually the reason behind those pictures, is just reminding us that, you know, when it comes to nutrition and health, one of the best things we can probably do is just, lighten up and laugh at it.
It's basically heckle it. So anything that comes out, you can bet that that's more or less what we're going to do with it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the thing about sarcasm and jokes is that when used properly, it'll lighten up the situation a bit, which, again, man, when it comes to what people are talking about online, nutrition is lightening up is exactly what we need.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, I think we wrapped that up pretty good. So what do you think? I think that was a medium show.
Well, yeah, but definitely wasn't well done. It was rare.
All right. So for Brad Peel, and I'm John Barbin, and that was your Phi Life podcast.